Lori.
Yeah.
And Mariana. So everyone's going to speak for about 15 minutes or so, and then we'll do a question and answer period, okay? So first, let's welcome Steve.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Thank you. Your turn.
Awesome. All right, I'm an alcoholic, and my name is Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hey. Well, it's good to be here. I want to thank Brandon, since I'm recorded, for asking me to speak. The good, the bad, and the bidding, right? So first off, I have a sobriety date. It is October 23rd, 2012, and I'm extremely grateful for that. Once again, it's really good to be here. And it's crazy, as I was rolling up, because I have been here at this hotel before, but it was for like an NA convention. And I was like, whoa, that really looks like the NA convention hotel we were at before. And I drove right past it. And I was like, oh, that's probably the right one. And so I have a car full of people and everybody's yelling at me. And I'm like, dude, everybody stop freaking out. It's going to be okay. Right? Like, we're going to be fine. I'll just make a U-turn and we'll be right back. And we did. And we made it, and everything was okay, and that's totally crazy, because that's, like, not my story at all. I started drinking pretty young, like, super young, and as soon as I started drinking, I knew that I was an alcoholic, right? I knew that that was the effect that I would chase for, I thought, the rest of my life, right? But what happened was I ended up homeless, broke, out of options, out of choices, out of everything, and I was 26 years old, and I was living in a park in Huntington Beach, and I was burnt, you know, and I didn't think Alcoholics Anonymous was going to be my answer, but for whatever reason, when I got here, I heard you guys share, and I heard you talk about the things that you were feeling, and I immediately knew that this is exactly where I belonged, right? And so I didn't immediately start working the steps. At 6.5 months of sobriety, I was in rehab, and I was still doing the same things that I used to do while I was out drinking and getting loaded, and I was lying, and I was cheating, and I was stealing, and I was manipulating, and eventually I got kicked out. You know, it caught up, and what I realized is that you can't stay sober and live a dirty life, right? And that was tough, right? Because that was all I knew. I knew how to be a criminal. I knew how to just be a dirtbag, you know, and it was comfortable and it was easy and it was something that I just wanted to do. And when I got kicked out, what I realized is that because I hadn't worked a program or done anything in sobriety, I had the same results. I still didn't have my family back. I still didn't have my friends. I had nothing. And I realized for the first time on May 13th of 2013 that I might need to work some steps to stay sober, you know, and I'm grateful for that day, because what happened was that a dude from my home group had heard that I got kicked out of rehab, and he came and found me. He found me at the sober living that I was staying at, and he kept it very simple, right, because I like to complicate things, and he said, an idiot's been running your life for the last 26 years. If you get in the truck and do what I do, you might have a chance to stay sober, and I was like, whatever, man, anything's better than what I've been doing, and I don't really like feeling this way right now. So let's do it. And so what happens is that he took me to my home group. And I talk about all this because the name of the panel is The Good, the Bad, and the Bidding. And I can tell you that there's been some good, a lot of bad, and a lot of bidding, you know. And so what happened is he started taking me through the steps. And we started going to meetings. And he's like, we got to go to these meetings every single day. And I was like, damn, that sounds like a lot of work. I really don't want to have to go to a meeting every day. And he's like, well, did you drink and use every day? And I was like, well, yeah, of course I did. And he's like, well, then it's probably a good idea to go to a meeting every day. And I was like, well, all right, I guess I said I would do whatever. So let's do it. And I started doing that. And so I started working the steps. Things started to get better. And then I remember at about a year and a half of sobriety, we had some young people that were in our home group. I go to a men's stag, and it's a lot of older guys, and there was a younger crew of us, and a couple dudes came up to me, and they were like, hey, there's this thing called ACIPA, which is the All California Young People's and AA Convention. Wow. Hell yeah. And it's in Redding, and I was like, where the hell is Redding? And they're like, it's 10 hours away, and I was like, yes, I am in for that, you know? And so they're like, all right, cool. We got this breakdown. Like, we planned it all out. We were going to come with our spot to our sponsors. Correct. Like, this is how much the hotel is going to cost per person. This is how much gas is going to cost per person. This is how many miles we're going to drive. This is how long it's going to take. And I just found the email that he had sent to us all going over all of these things that we were going to present to our sponsors. So that they would be cool with it. Right. So they'd be like, oh yeah, we came up with this bullshit idea. But the real thing was, is like, we wanted to go talk to chicks, right? We were in a men's stag, and like, that was our main motive behind it. And so our sponsors being sponsors and knowing the things that they know, which still blows me away, is they saw right through that, you know, and they were like, check it out. Instead of going and running out some defects, why don't you guys take our committee name that we used to have 20 years ago, and why don't you try to put in a bid to host this conference? And we were like, I don't know what that means, but if that's what we need to do to go, then that's absolutely what we're going to do to get there. And so this was 36 days prior to a conference. We had no idea what we were doing, but like I was explaining earlier with my sponsor, and he took me through the steps, we figured out where we needed to go. We looked on the website, and we found out that they had 12 requirements to put this bid together, right? And that was pretty simple. We had just gone through the 12 steps. We're like, we're just going to do this one at a time, and we're going to work our way down, starting from number one all the way to number 12 until we're done. And so we did that, right? And I think every day we met at a Starbucks after our meeting, sometimes after two meetings, and we would hang out there and we'd try to figure it out. And we did what was shown, right? We started asking for help, and we reached out to like the advisory committee, and some of them helped us and some of them didn't, you know, and that's just the nature of the beast. Being on an advisory committee is like, some people are available and some people aren't, and that's just how it goes, right? But the people that helped us, you know, and it was really cool. And that started this process. And so 35 days before the conference, we were showing up to FedEx Kinko's to pick up our bid package, and we had no idea if it was right and we had no idea if it was wrong, but we were like, sponsors, here is our bid package, like, we're going, you know, and we went to our home group meeting that Thursday night, and we left shortly after that, and we drove all the way through the night, and I don't really remember a lot of the drive. I remember that we probably drank 10, like, energy drinks. I don't know if they had, like, the 300 milligram stuff or the bangs back then, but we drank as much as we can possibly drink to stay up, you know? And so I remember getting there and being totally freaked out, right? Like, I saw all kinds of you young people, and like, I've always had this gray hair, and it was super awkward. And so what I didn't share is, a few days before the conference, I was like, man, I need to fit in. And like, I know I'm only 27, but like, I need to dye my hair so that I can fit in with you guys. And I look like a total idiot, right? And it was all jet black, and it was completely stupid. And I just felt very awkward. And that home group night, all of the old timers in my home group made fun of me. And it was good. It was fun, you know. And they're like, you just look like an idiot. And I agreed, you know. And that's how it went. But it was cool, you know. And what happened is that we did not get awarded that conference. But what happened was that I felt that same love that I felt when I first landed in my home group. From the people that were at that conference, and they basically like tapped us on the head, and they're like, good job, come back next year. And that's what we did, you know, and it set off this fire for Alcoholics Anonymous and young people in Alcoholics Anonymous that I didn't know was going to happen that day, right? Like, I told you guys what my motive was when I was going there, and like, it was a completely different motive when I left, you know, and it's been amazing. Like, so we got back, and we really didn't do anything that first year, and we went back to another ACIPA, and they're like, you guys didn't do shit, anything bad, or anything, so come back next year, right? We were super sad, and we're like, how can we not have gotten this? Like, we put in all of this work, and we really did nothing, but it was cool, because, we got to bring more people into it, you know, and there's people that are here in this room right now that were on that second bid, and it's been crazy, you know, like we continued going, and we continued the bidding process, and it's long, and it's hard, and like, everybody fights, and nobody wants to, like, a lot of people don't want to do things, and it's tough, you know, and what happens is, like, if you ever want to figure out like what your actual character defects are, like join a host committee or join a bid committee, right? Because you're going to butt heads with people and you're going to fight them and you're going to hate them and you're going to want to kill them and you're going to be like, this is the worst thing that I have ever done. I don't know why I'm doing this. But then you get to the conference and you see why, you know, and you get to see like all of the people here and like, you get to go to like bid cities, and I don't know if any of you guys have seen bid cities or like bid skits in the morning. You get to make a total idiot of yourself, and like you get to have fun and like do things that were not comfortable before getting here, right? Because like before I got here, like I had to be like cool, you know, like I had to be like just chill, like I'm gonna kick it in the back, and like I'm gonna blaze, and like I'm gonna drink, and like I gotta be cool. But if you ask these guys or the people that know me, like, I'm not cool at all. You know, I'm pretty lame. And I'm grateful for that today, right? Because what it did is it got rid of that feeling of being different, you know, that I had to be unique, you know, like I'm not. Like, I'm one of you guys. And the cool thing is like, through that process is eventually, once you bid on everything all the time, You have to go to different states sometimes to get awarded conferences. We went to Reno to this convention called SWACKEPAW, which is a Southwestern Area Convention, which is like 6 states. Yeah, which is tight. And we got awarded that conference. And I can tell you, like, that was probably one of the coolest experiences that I've ever had in sobriety. You know, I got to see, like, all the people from California rally around everybody, and it was like one of the most unifying experiences that I've ever had in my entire life, you know, it's been awesome. And like, we got to do that host year and it was rad, you know, and again, one more time, my perspective changed and I got to get, voted onto to advisory. Right. And like now my favorite thing that I get to do in sobriety is get to help other committees, like, get that experience. And like, if you haven't been on a bid committee, I would absolutely highly suggest doing it. If you haven't been on a host committee, I would absolutely highly suggest doing it, because for me it absolutely changed my sobriety. Like, I can go anywhere probably in the world today and know somebody in Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, I've traveled to so many different states and I shoot something up on a Facebook page and there's people there in like 20 minutes. And that's insane, right? Like, my life when I was drinking and using was like a 3-mile area, right? Like, my park was there that I was living at. The booze was there. The liquor store was there where I would get my booze. And, like, I would see some random people that I would get drugs from and get high, you know? And, like, today, my life has opened up, you know? And it's all because of Alcoholics Anonymous and, like, sponsorship and working the steps and like just being willing to get in the car and do anything, no matter what time it is or where we're going, or even asking questions or just like, hey, we're going. And I was like, okay, cool. Life is amazing today, and like I get to meet a ton of cool people, and I'm just so grateful for AA and the program and young people's, you know. And so I think I am fresh out of time, so thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Steve. Next, we'll have Mariana come up.
I'm going to turn it. Hi, my name is Mariana. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mariana.
Super stoked all of you guys showed up here. Thank you so much for doing such an amazing job chairing this meeting. And it's funny because I remember Steve and the squad at Akipa Reading. That was my first Reading. My sobriety day is November 21st, 2013. And I just remember it was Akipa Reading had like, it was like this, not Coliseum, but like it was like a stadium, indoor like auditorium. And it was on the second floor and they say, oh, keep on it, or something like that. And then there's like 4 dudes that get up and they're like, yeah! And they're all wild, and I'm like, oh my god, these guys are so funny. There's like 4 of them. Where are the girls?
Yeah.
So I love seeing that. So real quick, Young People's has been very, very vital in my life, because when I came in, I was coming off of heroin and meth and crack, and I had gotten out straight out of jail. And I can tell you, I've been to AA in 2008, was my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and you know, they read that form and said, if you have problems other than alcohol, we ask that you do not share. And like, for me, that wasn't like, I didn't feel like alcohol was my problem at that time, because I was smoking Oxycontin. And I can tell you, when I came back into the rooms, when I got out of jail, I went to young people's meetings, because a year prior to that, my good friend, her name is Natalie, she took me to some AA meetings, and I know how she used, because the first time I slammed heroin was with her. And she was 1 year sober, and the only reason I liked those young people's meetings is because, I mean, I did the other fellowship before, and the only reason I liked the young people's meetings is because there was a lot of really attractive people there, you know, and that was like new, and that was the attraction for me. And so when I got out, I knew where to go. There's this amazing place in the valley called Radford Hall. And I would sit in the back row and just, like, listen in. And, like, the thing about young people is no one ever made me feel unwelcome. For every time that I got up and said that I was not an addict, no one said, you can't share here. Or, like, they didn't pull me to the side at the end. Or they didn't have the talk with me. Because if they had, the way that I am, I probably would have rebelled. But I sat around and I listened to what people said. And I started, like, identifying with the disease of alcoholism. And so, like, I had to go through the big book several times. Like, you know, I'm the kind of person who's like, if you tell me why I don't belong somewhere, I'm going to be like, this is why I do belong. So I had to do my research and find out the big book does talk about drugs, and drugs are not an outside issue, right? The outside issue is alcohol reform, politics, and religion. That's what it talks about in the long form. Sorry, that's my rant. Okay, so this is why I love young people's, right? So that's why I started going to young people's meetings. Now, I'm just going to be transparent and open, honest with you guys. So there was this one guy who at that time had 8 years sober, and the whole year before I got sober, and I was loaded, and I was showing up to these young people's meetings loaded and never getting kicked out. I was seeing this guy, right, who had 8 years. Seeing loosely this guy for like a whole year. And so when I came back in, he was on this young people's committee in my area. And that was the attraction, right? And I was getting sober, and like, he wanted nothing to do with me, and I couldn't understand why he would have something to do with me when I was loaded, but not when I was getting sober, right? So he tells me this thing like, my sponsor says I can't hook up with anyone who has, you know, unless you have 10 months sober. Later he changed it to 6 months sober, so whatever. That was the attraction for me, right? And then there was a bunch of other people who had reached out to me. Like, I have to say, like, my experience has been when I came back in, maybe that's my perception, is I didn't feel like I was part of the clique, right? Because I don't know if you guys ever experienced that, but there are some meetings that I go to and I feel like, I don't feel like anyone's reaching out to me. Why is no one talking to me? Why is no one making it about me? You know, and like, unfortunately, that happened to me when I was like a newcomer. That's what I thought, right? And so I kept going, right? I kept putting forth the effort. And about a weekend, someone reached out to me, and someone like made me feel welcomed. And she was going to the committee elections, right? Or she was going to attend this meeting and take up a position. And so she calls me and she's like, hey, Mariana, will you come to CivipA business meeting with me? And I'm like, okay, let me call my sponsor. So I hang up, I call my sponsor, Angela, and I tell her, hey, I wanna, you know, go check this out. And she had previously been in that committee and she stepped off, and she says, I really suggest that you don't until you finish your eighth step. And I'm like, okay. So I hang up and I call and I tell Justine, hey, Justine. She said no, and she's like, well, it's kind of weird. Why would, and like, she gave me like a little rebuttal, and I'm like, okay, I'll just come and support you. So I go, and like at that time, I had just gotten involved with H&I, Hospitals and Institutions Committee. I had like 45 days sober. And I was like really on fire, right? Because that's all I had to do. Like, I was homeless. You know, I had no car. I was unemployable. So like H&I made me feel like a part of. And so I went with her, and the chair, her name was Jessica, and she looked at me and she's like, hi, Mariana, would you like a position? And I'm like, it wasn't even me talking, but it was like, what do you have? And she mentioned a couple of positions, and she said co-H&I. And like, had she not said that, I would have said, no, I'm not interested in anything. But she said co-H&I, and I like took that commitment, right? And then that guy that I was seeing, he like a few months into it, like 3 months into the commitment, right before Occupy, you know, I asked him to cover the panel because I can't do it. And he's like, how much time do you have? And I'm like, 4 months. And he's like, you're not even qualified to do this position. And I like got super resentful. And I made, like, I got all dramatic. I go on the group page and I'm like, I'm off the committee. Thank you guys. And so like we, but you know, this old timer, Miguel, he had arranged for us to go to Occupy Reading, and I've never been, but everyone was raving about it. It was a big, big deal. And I saw the committee for the 4 months I was on the committee. Like I saw the committee put together all this work to make, you know, to make things happen. So I end up going, you know, just like an innocent bystander, you know, like they're bidding at the table and I'm just in the back. And, like, my friends are telling me, like, you know, my friends on the committee, my friend Brady, he's like, Mariana, I just want you to know, like, we were talking about you the other day, and we're like, oh, you were such a great addition, you know, and then, like, you should come back on the committee. And so, like, we're at the table, we're bidding. It's a huge group. Like, we probably had 20 people. Everyone is so serious. Advisory is doing the round robin. And, you know, like, it was this huge party, and everyone's like, we're going to get it, we're going to get it. And then, you know, like, we don't get it. But I have, but we have this amazing, amazing experience, right? And so surely right after I come back on the committee. And so that happened in 2014, Occupy Reading 2014. And every single year I would be on the committee bidding, right? I've had numerous positions, you know, like I went from the co-HNI to outreach the following year. We had some controversy in the committee, some weird shit, as they like to refer to it. And you know, a person made themselves available for removal and the committee voted to have that person removed. That person had a really strong leadership, so when that person left, everyone followed him. Not everyone, probably like 5 really strong committee members followed him. And so we were the small committee of 10 people, and we had to host the Occupy Summit, which is the half-year conference. And I can tell you, we really screwed that one up. We owed the hotel about $3,000. We were overdrawn on our account, and we were not, as AA, as members representing Alcoholics Anonymous, we were not on good standing, right? We had to make it right. So we did the best we could, and, you know, we paid off everything that we had to. And we continued bidding, you know, and of course the advisory had like a really long talk with us, you know, and that's, like I said, that's like the bad that comes with bidding, you know. And so like throughout the years, there's been a lot of different, you know, I mean, there's issues. If you're in this room, I'm going to assume that you have been part of a committee bidding or you currently are. And I can tell you, God, it's been such an interesting experience. A lot of bad things happen, you know, like I have opinions and I think they're the right things to do, right? And I feel like if we do what I think that we should do, then we're going to be okay and we're going to get the conference this year. And if we don't, that it's your fault, right? So the following year after we hosted Summit, you know, I reached out to my really good friend and I'm like, Nick, you know, you should really join this committee. They're not treating me right. They're not acknowledging my opinion. And so he joins the committee. He gets chair. I get co-chair. And we have, like, the best year. Like, oh, looking back. So this guy and this girl came back. She was on the committee at the start. Her name is Amanda. She came back to California, and she got on the committee as well. And so Nick and Amanda will rent out these big 15-seater vans and load them up with 19 people. And then we would just roll out to events like 3-5 hours away. And like we, you know, and like we had that unity, you know, like we were bidding and Nick is like super go-getter. He's super driven. And he was like, we're going to get it this year. And he was just like, that's it. We got this. You know, he had like that confidence that assured everyone. And he, because of people like him and Amanda, like they pulled in a bunch of new people. They like literally did that old school AA and like get in the van. Like literally, they just made people get in the van. Whether they're new, whether they were crazy. I mean, a few times I was a little concerned for my safety. I really was. I was like, oh my, this guy Stompy, the first road trip I did with him. Oh my God, it was a trip. I'm like, holy crap, this guy won't stop about shooting dope. Like, I get it, but, and gang banging. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm stuck in the backseat with this kid. Ah, get me out. But, it's amazing. So like that guy, he now like lives in another state and he takes care of his uncle and he takes care of his nephews and he works and he has his driver's license, you know, finally. And it's like, he's a miracle. And that's like the exact product of the whole process of like us going and us bidding and us like putting in the work. And like I can tell you, every single year we put in the work. I mean, that year I thought we were going to get it. 2015, we thought we got this, we got Occupy, and we go, and advisory is like, well, you guys, oh, so we had a lot of house parties, right? There was controversy, there was weird shit, because there always is. And one of the house parties, someone stole a bunch of money, like close to a grand, from our treasurer's or co-chair's safe in his room upstairs, right? And so the advisor was like, you know, we can't trust you. Like, there's that's some weird shit going on. So, you know, we came back strong, and like, some strong leaders rotated off, or like they chose not to be part of the committee. They chose not to be involved with the hectic lifestyle. And like, that's the sad part, is like some people give up, and I'm not blaming them. I understand it's really difficult. You know, like I can't tell you how many times I called my sponsor and be like, well, she did this, and I called her a C word in front of other committees. And like, you know, like I have felt like crap for the way that I behaved, and there will be like some days I'm like, I'm done with the committee. I am so over this. You know, like this is BS. And there was times, there was years when I just like took a, you know, a position that didn't have that much involvement, like intergroup, and I was just like, I would just stand back, and I, you know, and there, you know, at that point I had a boyfriend in Tucson. I live in LA, and I would just like go see him every 2 weeks. The only reason I would, you know, I wouldn't agree to move with him is because of this committee. And like, thank God it saved my life, because that, like, that relationship was really not good, right? And towards the end, like, I had a bottle in my hand, like a fifth of something, I don't know what it was, but I was gonna drink at him, right? And thank God I didn't. And I would come back to LA every 2 weeks to go to my committee meetings and participate, right? And like every single year we would go and we wouldn't get awarded. Like I would just be a wreck, right? So I'd be like, in my head, I'd be like, we're not gonna get it. Like I've seen the bid packages of other people, we're not gonna get it. And then my friends would be like, we're gonna get this conference. It would be so stoked. And I would just be like, I would go into it and be like, God, I hope we don't get it. It's a lot of work. Look at us now, right? And we would go, and they would award another committee, and I would just be a wreck. Like, I would just be hysteric. And, like, I can tell you this, like, I thought about it a lot, and I couldn't understand, like, why? You know, you don't want it selfishly, you don't want to put in the work. The whole process of bidding is getting people together and giving them hope to do something, right? Giving them the drive to accomplish something, like a huge goal, right? Just like we take milestones, right? Oh, I just gotta get to 1 month, 30 days, I gotta get to 1 year. Like, it's just a milestone, just like that. And I felt like if we hosted, that milestone would be like, that goal would be taken away. But at the same time, I would be like heartbroken. And why? Why would I be heartbroken? Because the whole point of hosting a conference and bringing it to your area is that so that people that are just like you, who are new, who've never experienced this conference and might never experience it if they have to drive 9 hours away, they will get to experience it, right? I want it in LA because there's so many treatment centers, sober livings that have kids they will not take to drive 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 hours away to experience this conference. And I knew their life would be changed because my life was changed, and I wanted everyone else to experience it. And every single year I was heartbroken that my area is not going to get to have that experience as I was. And every year we went and we kept bidding, and I knew this for a fact. Every year I would say, this is my last year, and after every conference I'd be like, I'm done, and I would be back at elections. And we got it, you know, in 2018, we got it awarded. And I can tell you, the Miguel, Amanda, and I, we're the members who have been in the committee for the longest. Like, we broke down and we cried. And I hated Amanda, okay, just for the record. I might have called her the C word in front of other committees. And those of you who know our relationship. But, you know, like, the beauty of, like, hosting a conference with someone that you hate is that you get to mend that relationship. And, like, she got chair, and I was heartbroken. And I didn't even go for chair. I didn't make myself available for chair. I didn't want it to be. And then, like, she got it, and I was, like, heartbroken. And I didn't think she deserved to get it. I felt like someone else got more votes. But, like, it was God revealing himself through group's conscience. And we got to mend our relationship, and we got to have ups and downs throughout the year. And, you know, like, we hosted a conference, and there was some weird shit, of course. And then, like, at the end of the day, like, I've had, you know, I have someone in my home group to this day who is the daughter of the guy who was on the first elections of my committee some 11 years ago. His daughter, and she was a newcomer. She took a big book at that crazy main meeting, if you were there. And she's still sober to this day, and she's coming up on, what has it been like? She's coming up on 90, oh, she just celebrated 90 days, I think. No, she's coming up on 90 days. And, you know, like, it's those kind of moments, and, you know, that I was working hard for. And, like, 2 days, I've never gotten any AA's, like, shit tattooed on me. But, like, I got the logo for Acupop because, like, I poured in 5 years of my sobriety into this, right? And it saved my life when I was going through relationship stuff, through work stuff, through financial stuff, like anything that you can think of. Like, I had a purpose, right? And all I had to do was show up and reach my hand out. And if I was two in my head, all I had to do was talk to someone, drag them on dance floor, do the robot and Macarena, make them comfortable. And, like, that's it. That's really all it was. And so, like, I'm gonna close out with this. Like, I really hope that you guys, if you're not already, get on the bidding committee. I really genuinely hope that you do that, because, like, it will save your life, because it's going to be saving someone else's life. And the credit is not to you. The credit is through the God that's working through you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mariana. And finally, we'd like to welcome Lori up.
Lori Alcoholic.
Hi, Lori.
Now I can time myself. Thank you, Steve and Mariana. Those were both great talks. My sobriety date is August 26, 2008. I got sober whenever I was 18 years old. And, you know, and I remember I walked into AA, and I'm from Las Vegas, so we don't have, like, a huge, like, well, it's huge now, but we don't have, like, a huge city and a huge WIPOC community. And, you know, and I walked into AA and I thought my life was over. I thought nothing was, you know, I thought I'd never have fun again. I thought I'd never enjoy myself again. And God, I was wrong. You know, my sponsor, she told me, she's like, you need to go find the young people of young people's meetings, there's young people committees, everything. And so I went and found them. There were two young people's meetings in town, and there was the Monday night young people's, and then there was a meeting called Straight Pepper Diet, and I walked into Straight Pepper Diet, and back in 2008, it was only like 10 people or so, like in the WIPOC community out there, like it wasn't really big at all. And they were telling me, they're like, oh, we're going up to Reno to bid on this conference called Wacky Paw, and I had like 90 days sober, and I'm like, well, and I was confused because it was like Livy Paw, Wacky Paw. I'm like, I don't know what all this is, but whatever, I'll just get in the car. So I got in the car in the middle of winter. We drove up to Reno in the snow, and like my mind was blown. Like, if this is anyone's first conference, welcome. And then, you know, my mind was just completely blown. I'm like, what is this? This is like one huge, like, rave party all weekend long. And, you know, and I had the time of my life, and, you know, and I had these thoughts in my head, like, if sobriety is going to be boring, I'm going to go drink. Like, because there's no point in me being, like, I have more fun drinking than living a boring life, right? So they were bidding for this conference, and I go out there, and I don't really know what bidding entails, but I'm a part of the bid video, and I sit at the table all weekend long, and, you know, I'm very judgmental because I haven't been through the steps yet. I'm like, oh, look, look at all these people, like, that's our competition. And later on through the process, I realized that those are the most wonderful people I've ever met, the people that were bidding for the Wacky Paw along with us, and, like, some of them are my best friends today. But, like, when I'm a judgmental newcomer, I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk to them, they're a competition. And And I remember we weren't awarded, and I know Livy Paw before that had been bidding on this conference for two or three years prior to this. And so like everyone was like hyping it up. They're like, we've been bidding, like this is our third year bidding. It's gonna be amazing. We're gonna get it this year, and we didn't get it. And like we got back and we were heartbroken. And then we reformed Livy Paw, and then I took a position. I took graphics chair, and if you know me, like, never give me a graphics chair position, because I don't know how to use, like, so I'm on Swacky Paw host right now, and I deleted, like, everything out of the Google Drive on accident. I don't know how I did it. Like, don't give me anything, like, computer-related on, They had it all backed up, though, which was good, yeah. We didn't lose it all. My committee's smart, and, yeah, they give me graphics chair, and, you know, and AA is cool because they give you something, like, that's super easy, but you're totally unqualified for, and then they just let you run with it. And I made god-awful flyers, but, like, no one criticized me or anything, and, you know, and I just had a blast, and, you know, and we were getting a bid put together, and like there was like six of us on the committee. We're at each other's throats. Wacky Paw, I don't know how long a lot of you guys have been sober, but Wacky Paw was held in Eugene this year, and the treasurer of the committee drank, stole all the treasury money, and moved down to Las Vegas. And then he got sober and he joined Livy Paw. And we're at each other's throats. There's like six, seven of us on the committee and this new guy who just stole all the treasury money from Wacky Paw, and we welcomed him with open arms. And so we, like a month before the conference, like a motion was made that we disband and remain friends, and the motion passed. And this guy that just stole all the treasury money from Wacky Paw, he was like, he voted against it, and we're like, what, okay, what's your, like, minority opinion? So he talks, like, this 10-minute minority opinion, the whole room is crying, and changes everyone's vote, and, like, you know, and I respect the process of Alcoholics Anonymous, I respect, like, the traditions, I respect the group conscience, and, like, it just shows that minority opinion means something, because it swayed the entire room to change their mind to disband Livy Paw. And you know, we put in a god-awful bid in Eugene and went up there, and, like, the advisory didn't accept our bid because it wasn't a complete bid. And we're like, okay, well, we'll maybe go back next year. And so we went back next year, and we put together, like, this perfect, in my eyes, like, and I've served on advisory and seen a lot of bid package. We put in, like, the best bid package, like, I think we'd ever put in. And, you know, and our theme was, I'm resentful at Mr. Brown, and we did, like, a resentment skid and everything, and because people on the committee had been bidding like 5-6 years, and if we were awarded it this year, we weren't going to come back. And you know, because everyone was just like burnt out, tired, done. Like the same couple people were going through the committee. This is my third year on the committee, and you know, and I remember sitting there, and we're in the main meeting at Wacky Paw Yosemite, and it was like, It was an amazing conference. If any of you guys were there, it was up in Yosemite in the middle of winter. It was snowing all around. It was very spiritual. Great speakers, and you know, and they had someone run in dressed up as Elvis with the Nevada flag as like a cape, playing Viva Las Vegas, and like we all were just like looking around. We're like, who's this guy? And like we didn't get it. You know, they do like the surprise effect at some things. We didn't get it, and we were so stoked. And and, you know, and I remember the years previously, like, I'd throw, like, fits, like, if we weren't awarded. And, you know, and that's, and I say, like, if you want to know what your character defects are, like, get in a relationship. If you want to put Miracle-Grow on your character defects, get on a committee. Like, because I did not realize, like, how glaring my defects were until I joined a committee. And, you know, and I'm not the easiest person to serve on the committee with. I already know this. Like, I'm very, very opinionated. Like, I'm that person. Like, the people on our committee, they call me the call to the question queen, because, like, I'll just call the question and I'll, you know, and I'm a real stickler by the bylaws and everything. Like, I'm by the rules, and I call point of order all the time. Like, I'm not easy to be on a committee with. Like, I feel bad for Becca, who's our chair this year. Like, God bless her, because, like, she has to deal with a lot of us. And, yeah, I'm on a host committee right now for Swacky Paw, so I hope to see you all there. It's going to be really cool. So I think the bad with the bidding is, like, you get into it a lot with a lot of people. You have to do some serious work. Like, and that I think that's good and bad, because, like, you get these resentments and you get these issues, and then you have to go to your sponsor and you have to write about it, and then you have to go make amends, and then you get spiritual growth out of it, you know, and you can handle situations that you used to, like, blow up over or whatever. And you know, and the good is, like, I've made, like, lifelong friends as a result of this. Like, all those people who are, like, bidding in the East Bay and, like, bidding in Oregon and like, all the people I met through the bidding process through Wacky Paw, like, all those people, like, are still my friends. Like, I see some of them here this weekend, and, like, I met a bunch of people in Tucson, and I met a bunch of people from Denver, and I have friends, like, all over the country as a result of forming this, like, unity with the bid committees. And, you know, and at first I thought that they were, like, competition, and they were, like, our rivals and everything, and, like, I have best friends as a result of it. And, like, for Swacky Paw, I was only involved in the bid on 1 year. And, you know, I just had to take a step back, because, like, I was very, very, I was 7 years sober and very, very spiritually sick in my sobriety. And I needed to do some serious work with my sponsor. And, you know, my life was really full. I'm like, okay, what has to go? And, like, sometimes it's, like, for me, it was, like, being of service on Libby Paw. Like, I'm like, because I need to, like, I really need to take care of me and do some serious work in the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous right now. And, you know, and I did that, and I really, really focused on, like, sponsoring women and, like, being involved in my home group and doing work with my sponsor, you know. And then, like, other people on our committee, they, like, carried the torch. Like, I passed the torch over to them, and they went back and kept bidding, and then they were awarded the conference. And the second they were awarded the conference, they called me, and they're like, hey, come to elections. And I'm like, I'll be there. And, you know, and I got involved, and, like, they dragged me back into WIPA, like, because I considered myself retired. I really wasn't considering it, like, going to conferences or anything. And, like, it's been cool. It's been a real big growing experience, because, like, you know, everyone has that one person on the committee they bump heads with. Like, at the beginning of the year, I'd, like, go off on them. And then, like, now I've just really learned to pause. Like, that's been, like, the theme this year. Like, I've really learned to pause when agitated, like, through this committee. And, yeah, if you want to grow spiritually, join a committee. Thanks.
Thank you again, Lori. So at this time, we're going to take questions. We'll have the panelists come up and answer them. Does anybody have any questions for anybody in general or specifically?
Do you guys feel like was your biggest growing experience serving on a committee, or where you feel like God relieved you of, like, a character defect?
So the question is, where do you feel like your biggest growing experience was on your committee, and where do you feel like God relieved you of your biggest character defect? Anybody in specific you'd like to answer? Okay, Mariana, you want to come up and answer at the... Yeah, there's this. There's this.
It's my biggest character defect that I felt like was alleviated for me is, like, my need to be right and having it my way. Needing for me to have it my way is, like, was really important. I thought this is how it's going to get done if we do it my way. But, like, the fact that it was God's will through group's conscience, sometimes things went, you know, I predicted things that would happen and they would happen. But what it comes down to is, like, everything happened for a reason. Like, my committee not getting awarded 1 year because they did something differently than I suggested, it meant that for some reason we needed to grow, or, like, things have to happen the way that they did for us to get where we had to actually get it. And even if throughout the year when we hosted, we're, you know, things didn't go along the way that I thought that they should go, at the end of the day, it happened, it worked out the way that it did, and it served the purpose, whatever God's plan was, right? And I really think that's like the true definition of faith. And my will is anything that's going to try to stop that, right? My will is going to try to get in the way of happiness, freedom, and joy. So that was it, main one.
Thank you, Mariana. Any other questions? Okay. Steve, what was your favorite theme for any of the bids that you have done?
Let me look through the archives. Thanks.
Alcoholic Steve. God, we put in so many bids. And I really like what... Lori and Mariana were saying when they were touching on the bidding process and like going back and doing it all and creating like hope for the newer people, right? Because that's what I was shown. And like when you finish one step, you went straight to the next one. And like we didn't take any breaks. We never took any breaks drinking or using. And so for me, what my favorite one was... It was rocketed into the fourth dimension. It was the one that we took to SWAC, you know, SWAC Reno, when we got awarded the conference. And it was because at that point in my sobriety, like, I think I was going through a relationship thing that wasn't going well, also with Amanda. Weird how that comes full circle. Those guys really, my committee, those people... really saved my life that year, you know, and I was in a pretty dark place, and they brought me up, and I had truly felt like I had been rocketed into something that I didn't know could have existed, and for me it was that fourth dimension, and I'm so grateful for that. But God, yeah, there's been a lot of good, but that was for sure it. So
yeah, that's all I got. Thanks.
Do you have any other questions?
Sure.
Yeah.
My name is Mo, not Pollock.
Hi, Mo.
My question is for any of you guys, post year, like, what was the best things you guys were able to do for yourselves to keep going?
So the question is during hosting.
Post year, after
hosting committee or hosting conference, what were things that you guys could do to keep yourselves
grounded?
Keep going? Okay.
Alright,
keep the fire alive.
So, Lori Alcoholic. So, this is my second host committee, and so just a backstory. After we were done hosting Wacky Paw, our whole entire, half of our committee went and got drunk. And the other half, like, or a third of them quit YPAW, and there was only, like, a third of us or a quarter of us, like, left to, like, reform LibbyPAW. And, you know, and I remember after we hosted, I'm in the middle of hosting right now, but after we hosted Wacky Paw, like, I started going through the work again with my sponsor. We had LibbyPAW elections a couple weeks afterwards, like I think 3 to 4 weeks afterwards, and I immediately got a service position again, and you know, and I just kept my feet moving, and I didn't let myself get stagnant. I didn't take like a break after that. I didn't you know, go reward myself or go on vacation or anything. Like, I immediately got into work, the work in Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, I went back to the basics with my sponsor and started going through the work again. I started, like, sponsoring some women afterwards. Like, I've met some sponsees there. And then I just immediately got involved in service. And then I went to Accupaw and Riverside, like, right after, and, you know, and then that lit another fire, because it was the first conference I was able to go to and enjoy in, like, years, and, like, so for me, it was, like, just get immediately involved in service, and then go to a conference and enjoy myself. Like, don't do any work, don't volunteer for anything, don't do a security shift, just go and have fun, enjoy yourself. So, that's it.
Thank you, Larry. And can we get another round of applause for all of our panelists this afternoon? Thank you guys so much for taking the time to come and speak this afternoon. And with that, we will close with a moment of silence and the Lord's Prayer.